مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فعن أبي ذر جندب بن جنادة وأبي عبد الرحمن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. أعيد، عن أبي ذر جندب ابن جنادة وأبي عبد الرحمن معاذ ابن جبل رضي الله عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us a very succinct direction. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we can translate, be conscious of Allah wherever you are. Follow the bad deed with a good one to erase it, and engage others with beautiful character. Be conscious of Allah wherever you are. Follow the bad deed with a good one to erase it, and engage others with the beautiful, with beautiful characters. This hadith, dear brothers and sisters, is narrated in the 40 Nawawis. The 40 Nawawis is a book that Al-Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, collected 42 hadiths, in fact. And the name of the book is the 40 Nawawis. And then the Imam Nawawi, radiyallahu anhu, wanted in a few hadiths to tell us all about Islam, if you wish. So if people don't have the luxury to read Al-Bukhari and Muslim and other books, then by reading the 40 Nawawis will give you a good education about the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, the other book for Al-Imam al-Nawawi is Riyad al-Salihin. It is the same idea, so it is a collection of hadith sahih as far as al-Nawawi is concerned, but it is a much bigger book, Riyad al-Salihin, and it is a very, both books need to be treasured and need to be studied and need to be kept at home. And learned and maybe read with the family. This hadith gives a direction of life in a few words. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Bu'ithtu bi jawami' al-kalim." I was sent with the conciseness of speech. The Prophet, dear brothers and sisters, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not talk a lot. Although, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, whatever he told us, it was either a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if it was his own ijtihad, then the revelation would correct if it is not the best. This hadith, I intend to remind my new students at the university, as well as us, to really take this as a way of life, to take this hadith as a direction in our lives. I remember more than 40 years ago when I came to this country. I was 17. I was an A-level student. And before I came, one of the things I really wanted to have is really to have something that I can remember, and it can, by the will of Allah, guide me in that period when I'm a student. Looking back, if I have put this hadith into practice in the last 40 years, I'll be very, very happy indeed. The first part, there are three parts of the hadith. The first part, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ. And the other one is وَأَتْبِعْ السَّيِّئَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And the last part is وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. So اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ. This is telling people to be pious wherever they are, to be conscious of Allah. In some translations, you may find that the word taqwa or taqillah is translated as fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a part of the meaning rather than the whole meaning of the word taqwa, because at taqwa does entail a lot of meanings. One of them is to be conscious of Allah, one of them to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is really to be to leave what you suspect, just in case you fall into haram, into a sin, to something you are sure that it is halal, and so on. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. التَّقْوَى, piety, is a ship that saves us by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the key to all good things. And it is the ultimate goal of ibadah, of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This address is, O people, to all people, worship your Lord. اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, your Lord that created you and those before you, in order that you may achieve taqwa. And if you look into, for example, siyam, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So the goal of all ibadah, the salah, the siyam, the hajj, etc., is really to achieve that piety, to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be fearful of Allah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to carry that knowledge and that being conscious of Allah wherever you are. It also entails to look into oneself, look into what you do on a daily basis. When you go to bed, think, what have I done today? What have I done today since I woke up early in the morning? What did I do and what didn't I do? What good have I done? What bad have I done? This is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one needs to know about it. You could be in bed. You could be in a corner alone. You could be just thinking that, what have I done today? What good have I done? Did I establish my prayers? How well did I do there? Have I paid charity? Have I treated people well? Have I earned my salary? Have I earned my salary in the halal way? Of course, the first one, have I earned my salary? Because you may do halal thing, but not as much as you are paid. You're not doing your job. You're doing part of the job. You're not really pulling your weight. And no one, sometimes, you know, your boss is turning a blind eye. Think of all of that. How did I treat my wife? How did I treat my husband? How did I treat my neighbors and the people I met today? What about the children? my parents if they are still alive. This is part of the taqwa, is really to think. And then if you realize that you have done something wrong, say astaghfirullah al-azim. And make tawbah sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart that you have done something. You say, oh, I have done that and that is no good. Tomorrow inshallah I'm going to apologize for that person. Tomorrow I'm going to correct what I've done wrong today. Oh, I prayed. Yes, I did do my salah, but it was done in a very fast way. You know, I did not really pay much attention to my salah. This is no good. I need to correct that tomorrow. And so on and so forth, dear brothers and sisters. Some of the ulama, they defined التقوى is الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والقناعة بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. Is to fear الجليل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to live your life according to the revelation, to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon you. Whether it is as far as you think is too much or too little, you should be happy and satisfied and be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ, and to be prepared for the day when you're going to leave this earth, because that day will come. It may come sooner than we think. It may come a little bit later. It may come while we're still young, or a little bit older, or maybe very old, but it will come. And what we need on a daily basis to think, what have we prepared for that day? Are we going to be surprised and say, oh, I should have done that. I should have paid my zakah. I should have done my salah. I should have treated my parents and my wife and children and my husband in a better way. Because it would be too late. That is one of the definition of at-taqwa. Also, at-taqwa is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave as a piece of advice to us and the people before us. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So that is not exclusive to our ummah, but it was also to the previous nations, the followers of Isa and Musa alayhim as-salatu was-salam, and Ya'qub and all the prophets before us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to be conscious of him, to fear him, to remember him, to live their life according to the revelation. Dear brothers and sisters, make at-taqwa a way of your life. Make at-taqwa your lifestyle. Make it a lifestyle to achieve that taqwa. And it is not a difficult thing. Some people, when they are, it depends on how we were brought up. If you are told about iman and say, oh, you know, the believers are other people. The pious people are the others, you know. Who am I to achieve taqwa? Who am I to achieve iman or ihsan, excellence in Islam? That is not right, dear brothers and sisters. You can achieve it, and you can achieve it easier, much easier than you think. You are the one who is supposed to be faithful and to be mu'min and to be to achieve taqwa and to achieve ihsan. You can aim high, and if you fall short of ihsan, you're still a believer and you're still a Muslim. If you aim at the minimum requirement of Islam and you fall short of that, then you got yourself into a lot of trouble and to in a sinful life. Aim high, dear brothers and sisters. As I mentioned, this is a piece of advice to the new students, something they can remember, but also it is a piece of advice for all of us, for me and for you, for the old and for the young, for the men and women, for students and professionals, for everyone to remember this hadith. One last thing I want to say about taqwa, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ. This is a very important gesture in this hadith. Because if you are in the masjid, and mashallah the brothers are around you, you feel that, you know, you are conscious of Allah, you remember Allah, and so on. But if you move away into a different environment, depending on that environment, if you are in a wedding, for example, or if you are with your friends enjoying yourselves, you think that this is a different environment and taqwa is not required. And the hadith says, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتِ. If you are at home, if you are with your kids, if you are in Mecca, or in Medina, or in Pakistan, or Egypt, or Syria, or anywhere in the world, or if you are in the United States, or London, or Paris, or anywhere. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتِ. Taqwa is not specific and exclusive to a locality, not to a mosque, not to Mecca, not to your home, and then when you get away from the wife and the children and the neighborhood or the good friends. No. Taqwa should be carried by yourself in your heart, and it should be translated into good actions in your life. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتِ. Be fearful of Allah wherever you are. خلي الذنوب صغيرها وكبيرها ذاك التقى واصنع كماش فوق أرض الشوك يحذر ما يرى لا تحقرن صغيرة إن الجبال من الحصى. Leave sins small or big, this is taqwa. And do as the person who is walking across a field with thorny plants. You try to be careful not to tread on something that may injure you or hurt you. And do not belittle any sins, because mountains are from small pebbles. Do not say that this is just a small sin. It's okay. You know, others are drinking khamr and doing this. I'm just doing that. Because a small sin upon a small sin makes it big. And also remember who you are sinning against. Not just a sin. You are sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Jaleel. There is no small or big, and you need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I move on very swiftly into the second, or there are three parts of this hadith. The second part is, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow a bad deed with a good deed, and it will erase it by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to establish salah in the way we know it. And in this ayat, طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. And that describes the five prayers, by the way. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Bad deeds push away, remove, erase. Good deeds push and move away bad deeds. ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. This is a reminder for those who want to remember. Now, from the previous part of the hadith, taqwa is really to prevent us from falling into haram and into sinful lifestyle. But if we do fall into sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the gates for us to go forward. Otherwise, they say, oh, that's it, you finished, you've done that, that's it. Allah will never forgive you. That is not Islam, dear brothers and sisters. Allah will always forgive you, no matter what you have done. And in this hadith, it says that, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. You've done something bad, do something good. Pay charity, be good to your parents, send some food to the neighbors, smile into the faces of your brothers, help in the masjid, and so on. يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And of course, if you fall into that sin, decide and be firm upon yourself that you're not going to do it again. So, because we are not above doing sins, كُلُّ ابْنُ آدَمْ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, all the sons of Adam commit sins, and the best amongst those are those who repent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens that up for us. And in this hadith, it's by actually removing and erasing bad deeds by indeed doing good deeds. And the last part of the hadith is extremely important, because it is the manifestation of the taqwa. It is the manifestation of being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoiding sins. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and engage others with beautiful character, with supreme akhlaq. This is really a proof of iman. And again, if you look into the pillars of Islam, you'll find that it revolves around good akhlaq. And in many hadith, again, all of these parts can be not even one khutbah, you know, sort of a few khutbah on its own right, but this is a very quick reminder for all of us. You will find that, for example, when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, من ما عن أكثر ما يدخل الناس الجنة قال تقوى الله وحسن الخلق رواه أحمد. What is the most thing that admits people to Jannah, make them earn Jannah? He says تقوى الله, to be conscious of Allah, to be pious, and حسن الخلق, and to have good moral conduct. And حسن الخلق, dear brothers and sisters, is with your fellow human being, with the Muslim, with the non-Muslims, with the even with the trees, with the animals, all reflects, even with things. Because if I do like that, and I break this microphone, which I think I may have done already, but then where is akhlaq? You'll see this khatib, subhanAllah. You know, he's attacking the microphone. Next thing, he's going to attack us. Akhlaq, dear brothers and sisters, are the real manifestation of Iman and Islam and Taqwa, and it is the silent da'wah that we can, if you cannot do anything, maybe I can talk a little bit more than you, hence I'm standing here, but you can be a better khatib and a better da'iyah than me by observing good akhlaq. When you go to work with your wife, with your kids, with your neighbors, and people can see this, subhanAllah, look, you know, mashaAllah, look at the akhlaq. Look at the good deeds. Look at the moral conduct of these people. It must be Islam that taught them that. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده, والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اتق الله حيثما كنت, وأكثر السيئة الحسنة تمحها, وخالق الناس بخلقه. Please, dear brothers and sisters, this is a very important hadith. Even this very one hadith, if we remember it on a daily basis and try to follow it, wallahi, we will transform our lifestyle, will be much better Muslims, will be much better Ummah by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One subject, very quickly, in 2 minutes, I want to talk about is today we heard about the bombing of a school in Idlib by the Russian and the Syrian regime. Maybe it doesn't come as a surprise because these are continually killing people and children and so on. But children in any conflict are the first to suffer. And we can help. Lately we have heard about children, unaccompanied children from Calais or from other parts being brought into England. Some are actually rejoining their families, but some may not have a family because this bloody war orphaned so many people and killed hundreds of thousands and led people to fled in the millions. And I think one of the things we can do, if these children come, they have no parents and they need either fostering or what they call adoption, but of course that term needs to be clarified in Islam, then we need to be part of that, dear brothers and sisters. These are mainly Muslims, Muslim children, and they need to be looked after by Muslim families. So my suggestion is as follows, as your community. It's first of all to research this. Are there children coming? How many? Where are they? What is the system? The second thing is really to bring someone who knows about fostering. Because you can foster children, but you need to have some prerequisites in terms of personal abilities and the facility at home, etc. And there is a system to follow. It may not be that complex. So I suggest you bring someone from the council to talk about that. And moreover, to bring perhaps someone with knowledge to talk about adoption in Islam. Because that term is... we need to understand it. I'm not going to say much about it. Of course, in Islam, you can look after the orphan and look after children with no families, and your reward, as the Prophet ﷺ, he says, أنا وكافل اليتيم كهاتين, me or I and the one who looks after the orphan is like this in Jannah. But at the end of the day, they can't carry your name, they can't inherit your money, and so on. So we need to understand both. Maybe one workshop with two or three people can shed a light, encourage people to do something about that. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم ارزقنا التقوى يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارزقنا الخلق الحسن يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بالحق كلمة الدين. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير، ومن أراد بهم سوءا فاقسمه وخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم من أراد بإخواننا في أي مكان شرا يا أرحم الراحمين فاقسمه ودمره يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم احفظ المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم احقن دماءهم، اللهم هيئ لهم أمرا رشدا وردهم إلى دينك ردا جميلا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.